truly my distinct honor and privilege to be back with you all again. It's been a wonderful time of sharing. I want to pray before I go any further. Let's pray. God, thank you once again for this day that you've allowed us to see. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to witness your power in the changing of seasons from winter to spring. God, we're grateful that we're a witness to the moving of your spirit on the earth. And God, we're grateful for this season in which we celebrate the death, burial, resurrection of your son, Jesus Christ. God, we don't ever want to take that for granted. We don't want what you did for us to become commonplace. God, you gave your very best while we were at our very worst. And for that, God, we're grateful. So God, as we look at your word on this morning, open our hearts, open our minds, and help us, God, to hear a word from you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. For a subject on this morning, I want to talk from Luke chapter 19, and we're going to read verses 28 through 44. I know that sound like a lot of verses, but it's really, it really encompasses a really unique perspective prior to Christ going to the cross. We've been on this road to the resurrection, and I've done my level best to follow Pastor's direction, and so I pray that I've been faithful to that task. For a subject on this morning, I want to talk about, it's not what it looks like. It's not what it looks like. I'm going to read these verses for your hearing from the New International Version. It reads as follows. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the ground. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground and the children of your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." And again, for a few moments, I want to talk from the theme or the thought, it's not what it looks like. I don't know if you've ever experienced going to a restaurant and looking over the menu, trying to decide what it is you would like to enjoy for the meal. I recall on our first, my wife and I's first wedding anniversary, 19 years ago. Whew, it's amazing to be able to say that. She took me to this Italian restaurant in Chicago, and she was looking at the food descriptions, and I was looking at the prices. And I settled on something familiar because I'm not one for wasting money. And so I settled on this chicken fettuccine Alfredo dish. And it sounded good according to the description. And the price was well within my realm of ability. And when the waiter brought the dish to the table, it was not what I expected. It was absolutely everything more than I could have ever imagined. The head chef comes out to our table to ask us how we're enjoying our meal, and I told him, I've never had food this good ever before. And he said, well, I'm glad that you're enjoying what we've prepared for you. Sometimes the menu doesn't give an accurate description of what the experience will be when you enjoy it. And when I was preparing this message, I was thinking back to the many times over my life where things appeared one way, but they were either much better or much worse than I anticipated. And I'm sure if you took time to look back over your life, you would see some things and some places and spaces where things looked one way, but they were actually something completely different. This triumphal entry of Jesus into the city looked one way, but it was actually something completely different. This story opens with Jesus having finished giving this parable, and then he tells his disciples as they're entering they're walking along this path, and he tells his two disciples, go ahead to the next city. And when you get there, you're going to find a colt that has never been ridden tied there. Untie it and bring it to me. And if anybody asks you, why are you untying it? Tell them that the master needs it. The king needs it. The Lord needs it. Can you imagine someone coming to your house and untying your car from its garage, and you come outside and say, why are you taking my car? And their response is, the Lord needs it. How would you respond? Some of us would call the police. Some of us would call our two friends, Smith and Wesson. Others of us would have to ask a lot more questions to arrive at some semblance of clarity. But this is an interesting little miracle that happens along this way. There are many miracles that happen along the way as Jesus is on his way to the cross. And the disciples go ahead and they do exactly what Jesus tells them to do. Strangely enough, because rarely did they ever do that. But they go ahead to the city, to the village, and they find exactly what Jesus said. They do exactly what he says. They say exactly what he says. And the result is exactly what he says. Doesn't really look all that positive. It doesn't make any sense at this point. I'm sure as they were traveling to this village ahead, they were saying to themselves, why are we going to do this? What does he need a colt for? We've walked everywhere else. Why can't we just continue walking? But what was happening didn't make sense to them because they didn't have all the information. And so when they bring the colt back, they put their cloaks on top of it and they mount Jesus on top of it. And he then begins to ride this colt. And as he's riding this colt down this road to the Mount of Olives, there's a whole crowd that gathers. And it appears as though it's a celebration. It appears as though these people are excited about Jesus coming to rescue them. If you understand some of the backstory that's happening here, these are oppressed people. These are people who've had a hard and difficult experience, and they were looking for someone to deliver them. It reminds me of the children of Israel dealing with Pharaoh, and they were looking for someone to deliver them. And when Moses came along, they were excited. But what happened is, once they got to the promised land, some of them had Egypt in their hearts. They still wanted Egypt. They wanted what was familiar. They wanted what was known to them. These people begin to celebrate Jesus. They begin to shout, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of Israel. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." He enters this community, and these people celebrate him along the road. In this time frame, Rome was known for celebratory parades. They would have victory parades after winning a battle, and the general or the leader of the particular regiment that led them into victory is then marched into the city, and people would celebrate them by throwing roses and cloaks into the road to celebrate this victory. So these people are gravitating around Jesus, and this crowd swells, and the Pharisees are in the crowd as well. And the Pharisees tell Jesus, "Rebuke your disciples." And Jesus tells them, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." It's really interesting, all of this emotion, all of this noise, all of this excitement. I have family and friends that are graduates of historically black colleges and universities. And what they're known for are their college bands. They have amazing marching bands. And one particular year, I got an opportunity to go to homecoming at Morehouse University, Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia. And what was interesting was we initially were planted on the street, and we could see the band, we could hear the band coming, and we could only see a small portion of the parade. They had marching bands, they had dancing girls, they had people dancing in the street. It was a party in the city, but we could only see what was in front of us. I got a phone call from a friend of mine and said, "Hey, come upstairs where we are. We are up on the roof of this building, and you can see more from up here." And so I grab my family, we hurry up the stairs, and we're out of breath when we get up there. And what was really interesting is that from a different vantage point, we could see the entire parade. We could not only see what was coming, what was happening, and what had happened, we could see it all at the same time. And that's the benefit and the vantage point that Jesus had. Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew that several days later, this same celebratory crowd was going to yell, not only, they weren't going to yell, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." They were going to yell, "Crucify him, crucify him." That was what they were going to yell, because his vantage point was different. And so what looked like one thing to the crowd looked something completely different to Jesus. There's this theory that I learned when I was completing my undergraduate degree in communication studies called standpoint theory. Standpoint theory says that different people will view different, will view the same situation based upon their vantage point, based upon where they are in relation to whatever it is they're viewing. And so from the crowd's perspective, they were looking for someone to deliver them. They were looking for someone to rescue them. And this king comes along, this Jesus comes along, and he's talking different. He's teaching different. He's living different. He's performing miracles that they had never seen before. And so they wanted to celebrate him because they thought that he was the one that had been promised, that he was the one that was going to come and deliver them from the oppression that they suffered. What was interesting is that this same crowd, this same group of people who one day celebrate him, several days later, scream, "Crucify him." It's interesting that there's this triumphal entry of the king, but then secondly, we see the tears of the king. Upon entry into the Mount of Olives, the whole city comes into view, and from his vantage point, Jesus is able to see the entire city. It's almost as if he was upon the rooftop and able to see the entire parade at the same time. And he begins to weep. The Greek word for wept, it means that he sobbed and convulsed. He was convulsing and heaving. He was bitterly weeping over this city because they were not aware of the gift that they had been given. I'm reminded of the many, many times where I've spent obscene amounts of money to buy beautiful things for my children on Christmas morning, only to find them playing with the box, not the item that came in the box, because they didn't realize the value of what had been given to them. And so these tears that Jesus shed over this city came because he was well aware that they had no idea of the gift that they had been given. And so he weeps, and he's had this triumphal entry, and he weeps, and then there's this, lastly, there's the day of the king. And so prior to this, Jesus refused to allow public praise. But in this particular instance, he allows them to shout, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." And he responds to the Pharisees with an interesting retort. He tells them, if they don't praise me, the stones will praise me. It's an interesting, interesting response. Why would inanimate objects begin to speak? The only way that would happen is if we choose to not speak about what God has done for us, about how good God is to us. So the day of the king, the day that Jesus has then been identified as the one who's come to save us from our sins. The reality is, a lot of us, if we're honest, we would readily admit that we don't deserve the great gift that Jesus was for us or is for us. But the unique reason behind why this isn't what it looks like is because Jesus was just an ordinary man. He's not the, my son attends Judah Christian School, and every once in a while he'll come home and he'll ask me, Dad, does Jesus really look like this? And he'll point to a picture with the guy with the blonde, golden flowing blonde hair, and the blue eyes with the neatly trimmed beard, and the really, you know, some of the pictures he finds, I don't know where he gets them, but they're like, that's not the Jesus that I grew up witnessing. The Jesus was, he had curly hair. The Bible says his hair was like wool. That's kind of like this stuff that I fight with my son to comb with every morning. He had skin of bronze. He was from the Middle Eastern area where people, it was an arid culture where people from that area were brown. It's really interesting that my son asked those questions this week because we had an opportunity to have a conversation about it's not necessarily as important what Jesus looked like. What is important is the fact that he came. What is important is the fact that we broke the relationship between us and God. And God decided to send his son into a broken world to right the relationship between God and man. It's almost as if Jesus grabs our hand and he grabs God's hand and he brings us back together. That's what's most important about this wonderful season that we're in. I apologize for getting emotional, but when I think about all of the things that God has brought me through, all of the miracles that God has performed in my life and in the lives of my loved ones, I get excited because he didn't have to do it, but he chose to do it. And when I was growing up, our church choir, I grew up in a very traditional African-American Baptist church. And they would sing this song, The Old Rugged Cross, and they would stretch these notes and you could almost hear the hammer ring of them pounding nails into our Savior's hands and feet. You could almost hear the spear enter our Savior's side. You could almost hear the shouts and the screams and the anguish that was being experienced by our Savior. What blesses me is the fact that he chose to do it. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He didn't have to do it, but he chose to come and to rescue us from our sins. What's beautiful about how God does things is that it never fits how we would do it. It's never the way man would rectify or resolve a situation. The way God chose to do it was to send his son through this anguish, to sacrifice his own son to satisfy our sin debt. It's almost as if in Christ, time and eternity exist in the same person. It's almost as if everything that was, is, and could be existed in the same person. And as a result, he was fit to be sacrificed on our behalf. Sometimes that gets lost in our experience, in our Christian experience, especially in our culture and the culture in which we live today, because there's so many other things competing for our attention and for our heart. The Bible tells us that at the right time, Christ came to die for us. So a few weeks from now, when we're preaching our Easter speeches, we get an opportunity to relive and to remember the great sacrifice that our Savior made on our behalf. It didn't look like how we would have done it. But God had a plan. His vantage point is different from ours. It doesn't look like it's supposed to look. He sent someone born uniquely, who lived a sinless life, died an unjust death, buried in a borrowed tomb. But 3 days later, God raised him with all power in his hands. And soon, one day, and given the climate in which we're living, sooner than one day, he will return to take us home with him, where we'll live with him forever. So as you go throughout your week, remember that whatever you're experiencing, whatever you're going through, whatever your circumstance or situation is, remember, it's not what it looks like. Christ being celebrated on one day and voted to be crucified on a few days later didn't make sense. What you're going through may not make sense, but it will make you saintly. Because if you trust in him to get you through whatever it is you're going through, you will be more like him each and every time. Let us bow. God, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to revisit the great sacrifice he made on our behalf. God, so often as we grow in this Christianity, this Christian faith, so often the great sacrifice you made gets lost. So God, we want to make sure we remember your great sacrifice. You gave your son to satisfy our sin debt. We gave him our sin. He gave us his righteousness. So that when you look at us, you now see the righteousness of your son. For that, God, we're grateful. God, we're grateful that we have a wonderful fellowship and a church where we can learn more about you. God, we pray that as we go throughout this week, whatever we're experiencing, whatever circumstances or situations we find ourselves in, help us to remember, God, that it's not what it looks like. It's not final. You have the final say in all of our lives. So, God, allow us to trust you where we can't trace you. Allow us, God, to hold on to your unchanging hand, because God, you're faithful, you're just, and you're good. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.